What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include, absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back into it here on a Friday morning.
He liked the road trips. Let me tell you, Dusty, he liked the road trips.
We gotta go. Welcome into Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well, the most arrogant Celtics fan you will ever meet in your entire life.
Outside of Boston.
The guy just, it's like The Last of Us, but instead of wheat flour, he got Bill Simmons just crawling in his brain. He's out here exactly just clicking Bill Simmons takes on the Kansas City side. So, no, I dig it. I dig it because I told you, I said, you know, you should lean into this. People will be like, oh, Mahomes and those Chiefs fans, they're arrogant. No, we just have stats and everything to prove it, right?
Yep.
So 4-0 in the regular season against the Knicks. Two guys on this side of the glass going against that guy on the side of the glass. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for the Knicks, underdog. I have no dog in fights for the NBA.
Fair.
Luka and my Lakers are gone. So now I'm
more
just
fun if the Knicks make this.
Now I'm just pessimistic Dusty in the NBA, which I love pessimistic Dusty in the NBA. Boy, I'd really love to see this team like the Knicks beat the Celtics. Game six, Knicks are bounced out of the playoffs. Man, I want to see if Ant can make a run in the Western Conference Finals.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's what I love about the NBA. But tonight, game one, both of you guys have the floor because this is your team versus your team.
What's interesting, though, about this next round of the playoffs, I was telling Dusty, it's the playoffs. People are talking about the NBA playoffs. Whether you're an NBA fan or not, you're kind of captivated because it's a
end, right? Mm. There are 16 teams left in the NBA playoffs. Only 14 teams make the playoffs in the NFL. Just keep that in mind, right? How much harder it is to make the postseason in the NFL than it is in the NBA. 32 teams make this, or not 32 teams, but there's 16 left. There's already been 24 teams make the postseason in the NBA. 14 make it in the NFL, right?
24.
One, no. 16.
Yeah.
No, there's 16 teams left.
No, there's 8 teams left.
There's 8.
We're in the second round. There's
2-2.
Eight teams. So 16 make it in the NBA.
Yeah, over half.
Yeah, over half the league makes over it, it into the postseason.
No, well, recently changed.
And if you count the play-in, if you want to count the play-in, it's 20.
It's 20 teams making it in out of 30. So like if
you got to really suck.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
But again, there's nothing wrong with that because we will watch games that matter. No matter what the sport is, if there's a compelling game on, the American public will tune in. Did you see the horse race on Saturday where Sovereignty One had their highest television number since 1989?
Wow.
I don't know why it was such a big number.
Did you see how much money was gambled on the Kentucky Derby?
I did not, no.
$349 million.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Now, there weren't a lot of people there
because
of the rain.
Since last year.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of people weren't there because of the rain kept people away.
Those poor horses.
I mean, that the highest audience since 1989. It was something that mattered. People wanted to see, you know, journalism get beat by Sovereignty, which became the big joke of the day, right? Ha ha.
That is funny.
It was funny. It really was.
Poetic justice?
I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah. Hannah was like, wait, it's over? I was like, no,
That's it.
Yeah, 2 minutes, it's
I've
done.
I've heard that so many times
she
in my
She says that
life.
To you almost all the time,
it's almost in sync.
I mean, geez, I'll teach you some lessons here when you get, you know, how to make things longer. You should have watched the whole Derby. It was on all day. You could have told it's all lead up. It's all pregame for this 2 minutes of whatnot. So
5:17, start it.
That's kind of what we, when's post time? 6:01, 6 o'clock, turnover.
Did you watch more Kentucky Derby or more NBA on Saturday?
Saturday?
Yeah.
Kentucky Derby. I didn't find the NBA on Saturday. It was pretty much, you know, washed anyway on Saturday because everybody's already advanced, right?
Yep.
There wasn't much going
on.
There was that Game 7, which was disgusting between the Clippers and the Nuggets.
That was the epic collapse of the Clippers.
That was all that happened on Saturday.
Nuggets didn't even do anything.
Now, they sat their starters with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a Game 7.
Oh, why wouldn't you? That's the NBA. That's why people love it. It's fantastic.
Gosh.
And so now you're into the postseason, but you've got some compelling matchups. The Knicks and who are they again that they're playing?
Celtics.
Yeah. When you get New York and Boston together, that is no longer a sports story. That is dramatic.
Yeah, and
that
out of four games, Mac thinks it's the most least entertaining one there is.
It may be, but I guarantee it'll be the most watched.
Agreed.
Most paid attention to.
That.
I mean, that's what people want, right? They want to see what's going to happen. Spike Lee, is he going to do something? Ben Affleck, what's the crowd going to be like? Just the drama of that rivalry. I think it's big. And that's kind of what I like in sports, man. We need more of that. Eddie Olczyk last night in the hockey game, sitting there broadcasting into the second overtime. And Kenny Albert goes, playoff hockey, this is what it's about. And he looks at him and goes, this is all it's about.
Mm-hmm.
This is all it's about. And that's where we are in the playoffs. And that's why we pay attention to the postseason more so than the regular season, because this matters now. And guys are given their all. Not all of them. There's still James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and guys like that out there.
Russell's doing good.
But for the most part, guys are playing at a different level in all of these sports. And that's why tonight's going to be fun with the start of that series. And then last night with the Blues losing the way that they did, you mentioned, and I thought it was a good analogy, the Atlanta-New England type thing, that was a great analogy by you leading into the break. I mean, 2 seconds left in the game, and Winnipeg ties it and sends it to overtime and then wins it in the second overtime.
You had it. It's right here.
I told Dusty, I'd rather get my ass kicked in the Super Bowl like we did than lose a game like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
At least you know, right?
You're done. I mean, 10 minutes in, we all knew, whether you want to admit it or not, this thing is over.
You're executing the back of your head in a blowout. You're burning to death.
You're a Blues fan.
Like this. Like, just clip it, dude.
I mean,
like,
the Blues scored within 70 seconds of that game, had a 2-0 lead. They're up 3-1. They're up 3-2, and there's 2 seconds left in the game. And Winnipeg ties it, and then they win it in double overtime.
Unbelievable.
I would absolutely be just despondent today.
Yeah.
If that was my team and lost a game like that and lost a series like that, and now the season's over, I will say the handshake line is still the greatest thing that you can get. I love it. It's so awesome seeing those guys shake hands and congrats. No other sport does that.
Nope.
Baseball grabs each other's asses and congratulates themselves. Football has it, but not in that kind of organized line. Basketball kind of, but not organized like it is at the end of the series in hockey. It's fun, man.
And I know everyone's like, oh, well, the Blues weren't as good as the Jets. I wouldn't care if I was a Blues fan. We had that game.
No. You throw all that out the window based on the way things are going.
It'd be like if the Knicks were in game seven and they were about to win and the Celtics came back. Well, the Celtics were supposed to win that series. I don't care.
No.
We were up.
Yeah.
We had it.
You had it. Yeah, you should be despondent today. You shouldn't look back and, well, that was a fun ride. No, you should be like, damn, man, that we blew
hard.
That sucked. We were right there, had that opportunity, and with 2 seconds to go, you gave up the tying goal.
God, we're up 28-3 against Tom Brady at halftime.
Yeah.
What the hell?
How'd that end?
I guarantee you, if you're a Falcon fan, you're not over that one yet.
No. Hell no.
You can't be.
I don't think they've made an NFC champ game since. Yeah.
Oh, God. Have they made the playoffs since? Yeah, I'm sure they have. But
probably, yeah.
But no, I mean...
No, it'll be fun tonight. The series will start, and I'm excited. I'm a little, my arrogance has now made me like, okay, I hope we come through because I'm talking a lot, but I think I have reason to. There's precedent here. This is a team that's done it, defending champions.
Yep,
they've done it against this team in the regular season so far. So I have reason to believe it.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure, I think the Celtics are probably going to win the series, but if we get a dramatic filled series that goes to seven games and everybody's captivated by every night of this series, the NBA wins. The NBA wins because nobody cares about the other ones.
The lines on tonight's game: Knicks at Boston, so at the TD Garden, not the original Garden. So there's the TD Garden. There's the OG Garden,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. Knicks in five. I'm kidding. Right. So Boston -9 via DraftKings. The over under this game 213.
Okay.
Money line is Boston -380.
Jeez.
Yeah, Boston's a huge favorite, and it gets getting bigger and bigger.
It's really
scary. As better as Brunson has become since they haven't played a game. you know, the Celtics are still like getting more and more points in this thing. Like there's a lot, which I don't know, man, like, don't you get a little concerned about that when all of a sudden the general public is putting all their money on one side?
It's a little like, okay, chill. Everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah.
The other game is Denver Nuggets at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City -9.5, the over under in that game, 225. Oklahoma City -440 on the money line.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to take a little upset city tonight, you want to bet the money line on the Nuggets and parlay with the Knicks, that's +1660. 10 will win you 176 and some change.
I think the Knicks have a better chance to win tonight than the Nuggets. If you had to
choose. The Nuggets fired their coach. They're good to go.
And they're exhausted. They just had to play a game. Coming up on the other side, you remember Bob Fesco's birthday? If you don't, that's fine. MJ Melendez does. I'll explain why the two make sense here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
You got Rob Maloney on your side tonight for the Celtics, Mac, because he went to the same high school as Jason Tatum.
Go.
They're boys. Maloney, Tatum. Next thing you know, he's going to have Tatum Tater Tots on the Landings menu that you can pair with Bob's Bavarian Smash. Pretzel.
Smash.
And Ben Maller Chicken Tenders. I would love like a Caesar salad with the grilled Maller Chicken Strips.
That would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So order that.
Does he have a Caesar salad at the Landing?
Everybody's got one of those, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Not everybody.
He's got that Ken's Steakhouse Caesar dressing. Pour it on some romaine. Throw some Maller's tenders on top.
Better believe it. Something that is fun to believe is that the Royals are rolling, man. I mean, this has been a fun 2 weeks. This has been a fun, you know, more than just, oh, it's a series against Colorado.
In the air, left field and deep. Herstad is at the wall, and that is home run number 4 for the Royals. And Bobby Witt Jr. snaps an 0-for-12 to put the Royals out in front for the fourth time today.
So Bobby Witt Jr. goes from a 22-game hit streak to a one-game hitting streak.
0-for-12, like I had no idea it was like that, right? How quickly that happens.
Hits that home run yesterday. Of course, who didn't hit a home run for the Kansas City Royals yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
But I brought up your birthday because I remember.
Did Renfro?
No, I didn't play. Or if he did, I didn't know it. But your birthday, April 19th, the Royals, coincidentally, on the same day, demoted MJ Melendez down to AAA. And I thought that this move had two indications on it. One was, hey, MJ, we care about you as a player in this franchise, and we want you to work out, and we're giving you, you know, a chance to go figure it out, because if it doesn't down here, then, man, I think you can kind of read the room. The other thing that I think it did, and I think that can have this effect, and J.J. Pacola will be with Cody Golden-Drew today at 10:30 on their show, so he'll get some questions maybe kind of around this as well. But, man, like, you look at what this move did, and people had said before that they had known, or people that have, you know, really locked into this team know that Bobby and MJ are really good friends, which means that MJ is probably really good friends with a lot of these guys on the roster, where it's more than just like, he's my teammate, you know, then we leave the office and, you know, whatever. Like, I bet MJ and Lugo probably don't go have conversations like MJ and Vinny and, you know, maybe Bobby have, if you get what I'm saying.
Right.
And he gets sent down, and it's also with the message of like, man, they sent MJ down again. Mm-hmm. We all know he hasn't been hitting. We're all locked into our stats, our numbers, our thing. That's just what teams do. And maybe that was something that, you know, kicked some tires and started some fires with this Royals baseball team. Because since that day, the Royals have 13 games. They've gone 11-2. Their offense is averaging almost two full runs more than they were. They were averaging like 2.9 runs during their first whatever games. They're averaging 4.3 right now. Vinny Pasquantino's answered the call of getting more production from that three hole. Four homers, nine RBIs.
Vinny's playing really good baseball right now.
No doubt.
And I will say, like, we were pretty tough on him a couple of weeks ago, as we should have been, because he wasn't getting the job done, right? And they want to attribute it to shaving during a rain delay or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Baseball players are weird, man. So it doesn't matter what it is, but I want to give him his flowers, because I thought he had a really good weekend series, couple of nice doubles, making some plays at first base. Like, maybe that MJ thing woke Vinny up as much as anybody at this point in time.
Right. Or, you know, he maybe listens or sees criticism. I don't know, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, it eventually, like, the shakeup in the lineup definitely caused something. They moved Vinny to seventh. They demoted MJ Melendez. Bobby Witt Jr. goes on an ungodly 22-game hit streak. And then there's Michael Garcia, right? Then there's Michael Garcia, the unsung hero of this lineup so far in the first month and a week of a season, or maybe you could call it a first month and a half of a season. During these 13 games, he's at a .340 average, six multi-hit games, two home runs, five doubles, knocking the cover off the ball, being a productive stick in that lineup, gives you an option at that five hole, lengthens your lineup, gives you protection around the other guys, and it's no coincidence that Massey starts to hit, Vinny starts to hit, Bobby continues to do his thing, Salvador Perez starts to hit, and all of a sudden everybody's a little bit more comfortable, because 13 games, 4.3 runs, that's a significant, significant uptick to what you did have.
And the Royals, to take that one step further, they're 13-1 when they score four or more runs. So we're not asking for a lot here. And I was having a conversation with my buddy Jim yesterday via text, and we were talking about the Royals, and he said to me, he goes, I believe, and he's in his 70s, so he's seen every year of Royals baseball, right? He goes, I think this is the best rotation this team's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to argue that. I mean,
85 was good.
Yeah, but did they go 1-5, though, in that rotation like this one is going right now? I mean, they obviously had Saberhagen, Lee Brandt at the top of that rotation, and I'm drawing blanks. Gubaza was in that rotation, yeah. Was Dennis Leonard at 85? Because I know Split was not. Split retired in 84. Anyway, I mean, yeah, you could probably compare it to the 1985 rotation. But since 1985, this is by far, and again, not a lot to judge it on, but still, it is the best rotation that you have and have had in 40 years, right? So you want to make sure that you're not wasting that. And that's where, for me, like, the impact of Michael Garcia obviously is huge, because you're getting production from
Bud Black and Danny Jackson.
Yeah, so that 85 rotation, yeah, forget about it, right? Yeah. Yeah, but look, I mean, this team may be better than that team. What was their team ERA that year? Do you have it pulled up or
not? Go ahead.
But if you can find the team ERA real fast, that's fine. We could look at something like that, maybe compare it that way. But either way, we're looking at a historically good rotation that you don't want to waste. And so to have Garcia come up and play like he is, and I said it last week, and I'll continue to beat this drum, he's the second best player on this team right now, and that's not hyperbolic. That is the flat out truth. He's your second best infielder next to Bobby Witt Jr. And even Vern said it. You know, you start to look at some of the defensive metrics out there. He's one of the top 25 infielders in all of baseball. And so that's why you want to see if he can play every day at second base for you. I'd move India to third base every day. And now you've got guys in the outfield that can get after it. You've got Drew Waters who's come on. You've obviously got Isbell who's played a nice outfield for you and has been quietly a really nice player all season long. And now you can potentially go out and get that one outfield bat. And so now with the way that this team is playing because of Garcia and because of Drew Waters, and you're getting that production from those guys that are in your minor league system, you don't have to go out there and make multiple moves now for an outfield bat. You can go out there and make one really good move for an outfield bat. You don't have to go out and try to acquire guys that, you know, were demoted or on their last leg with an organization. You have the opportunity to kind of go out there and make a big move now. And as Vern said, you have a lot of controllable pitchers, but you also have a lot of controllable pitchers with affordable contracts that teams would be willing to take on at this point in time. So there's a lot of things in your favor to add to this team, but it makes it so much easier to go out there and add, thinking, all right, we only really need one big piece because of the way that Michael Garcia and Drew Waters are playing right now. Both of those guys are exceeding expectations, and everybody should be pleased with what they're doing right now for this organization. And when I say everybody, I mean fans. These guys are awesome right now. We got to ride this hot hand.
Yeah, your 1985 ERA average was 3.47.
Oh, good.
So, I mean, saves had a 2, and I think Charlie had a 2, and everybody else was somewhere in there. But you'd have to give me a little bit of time with the pitching staff of the current Royals. But, yeah, so 85, you had Liebrandt had a 2.69. Saberhagen had a 2.87. Danny Jackson had a 3.42. Bud Black had a 4.33. And Gooby had a 4.06.
Wow.
Solid rotation.
Yeah.
And all of them but one threw for 200-plus innings.
That's the crazy part. Like, you're not going to see that anymore. Guys aren't doing that. I was having a conversation last night when we were at Stage Right for our event with one of my friends, and he said to me, because what we're seeing right now is a product of Major League Baseball is because of the $5,000 a year travel ball that nobody can afford to play, and we're weeding out talent. I go, I don't disagree with you at all with what's going on right now from a hitting standpoint in baseball. That's why when you got a guy like Garcia and Drew Waters that are hitting the ball like this, that's an anomaly right now in Major League Baseball. We went through those numbers last week of people hitting over 200. It's only 130 players in baseball hitting 200 or better. Royals guys are starting to heat up a little bit and are starting to kind of get to that level, you know, where they need to be. And it's fun to see the guys that are from your system. And I know Drew Waters was traded back, you know, in the day and came over, but still a system guy that you've had down in the minors. It's great to see those guys achieve success because it means you don't have to go out and spend extra money in the offseason or during the year to fill positions when the guys from your minor leagues are doing that job.
You're not wrong, because it's so close between this staff and 85.
Is it really?
It is. This staff right now, currently, team ERA total, 3.44.
It's 85, better.
And then 85 was 3.47.
Holy
it's
crap.
It's like right there. So you just fell into that like little statistical.
Well, no, my buddy, I would get what happened. You just kind of have conversations. Oh, yeah. I think this is the best Royals pitching staff we've ever seen. And I'm like, all right, Stage Right's getting ready to start. I don't have time to dive into this. He's not wrong.
So Lugo carries a 3.07. Bubich with that 1.98. That's what's helping.
Yeah, well, sure.
Lorenzen's ballooned to 4.23 after yesterday's start. As you saw the video of him absolutely throw a 90-mile-an-hour glove in the locker. And then you see India's like, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, we got you.
And then 3.52 for Waka, 4.40 for Cole Reagan. So
Cole will bring his down in that minor league rehab start tonight against the White Sox.
Yeah. So Seth Lugo, your innings eater right now, 44. But no, it is.
That's crazy. They're that close, dude. Wow. 3.47
versus
3.44
and 85. And then this is 25. So yeah.
40 years difference. And I mean, and that's a memo for John Sherman. Like, you know, don't feel the need to hold back the dollars. You don't want to waste what we're looking at now as a historic and arguably now the best rotation in Royals history. You don't want to waste that saying, oh, we missed it by not having one bat. John, go get that guy. Bring that bat in here. The new stadium will pay for it sooner rather than later. Go out there and get that bat and make this offense that much better so we're not wasting this rotation.
Yeah, and this weekend I was trying to think of the kind of analogy that this Royals topic is, and you've been to concerts before. Both of you have. Listeners, you've been to concerts. How many times have you gone to a concert And obviously, you know who your headliner is, right? Like, if you're going to go see a main attraction, you know what they are. That's Bobby Witt Jr. in this lineup. He's your headliner. You know what he's going to be. He's going to play the hits. He's going to play the current album. He's just going to be that guy. But how many times have you gone to a concert, and when you left the concert, you're like, you know, his opener was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's Michael Garcia. And then you also have those concerts where there's two openers, and you're like, yeah, but don't forget about that other guy that was before him. He was really good, too. What was his name? Oh, Drew Waters.
Yeah.
Drew Waters, he's tired of Omaha. Drew Waters says, you know what? I'm here. I want to stay here. I've got to do something to stay here. I don't want to get sent back down. That's another reason why I think that MJ thing, like Vern brings this up. He's like, Drew Waters hearing MJ Melendez was getting sent down instead of him had to have been one of those things like, okay, technically they believe in me, but how much? Because the guy they sent down, I mean, it's apples and oranges to be where we're at in our batting averages and all this stuff. And then Drew Waters has blossomed into this almost like born again baseball player that everyone here hoped they'd gotten from Atlanta.
It takes time, man. It's like not easy in Major League Baseball to hit the ground running and just be a great Major League Baseball player from day one. Alex Gordon, Mike Moustakas, Yordano Ventura. Like, there were a lot of guys that we look at now as really good baseball players, part of this organization, that kind of got that kick in the pants and set back down to Omaha. Obviously, Alex changed positions. Moose and Yo's didn't last as long as it needed to be. But Yo's trip down to the minor leagues, I don't even know that he made it to St. Joe and he turned around and came back because there was an injury or something. But he became better because of that. And if you are at the big league level, right, you're eating at the finest of steakhouses, you're traveling private jet and all this great stuff, and then you go down to the minor leagues and now you're eating, you know, a hamburger and flying Southwest and somebody's pooping in a seat next to you, you're like, all right, this stinks, man, literally and figuratively. I want to get back to the big league level. Yeah. Some guys are able to turn that around and work their ass off, get back to the big league level. Some guys don't. I don't know if MJ is going to be one of those guys. And quite frankly, I don't need to see MJ on this team anymore. I don't care who he's friends with. I said it when he was sent down. I said, I don't think we'll ever see MJ again. And all of a sudden, Drew Waters has taken off. Michael Garcia has taken off. This lineup is starting to hit right now. And again, I'm not saying this because I don't know the man, but I have seen him be disrespectful to the grounds crew on the field in the past when I'm watching a game at the ballpark. Sometimes getting rid of somebody is better than bringing somebody in, and you get that negative attitude out. And as much as you like somebody, they can still have a negative attitude that brings everybody down.
Right.
And when you're hitting 087 and people are booing you, it's hard to have a positive attitude every single day. And so I think a change of scenery for the organization was good to get rid of to get rid of MJ Melendez and bring up Drew Waters and have Michael Garcia kind of take off. It's been a great move for this organization. And at this point in time, I don't need to see him ever again in a Royals uniform.
It's also kind of crazy that you see a guy who is successful and you know from what you've heard that like he's thriving to do that. Again, I'm not taking a whole lot of shots at MJ, but like Drew Waters was given up on by the Braves, right?
Yeah.
He was down in the minors, brought back up, down in the minors.
I mean, he was the first guy that I can remember in the new age of baseball being traded for draft picks.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you've seen his work ethic and like what he's done to stay up here, and now it's cooking. I mean, Drew Waters, for crying out loud, is hitting 282.
I know.
Like, I'm just, yeah. You know. And then there's guys like MJ where it's like, we hear the stories that George Brett says. Like, that's our source on that. Like, George Brett was on this show opening day. We have the audio where he's just like, well, I hope it works out for you. I mean, I wish you the best.
You, yeah.
But like, you know, we're you know, quoting, but like loosely. But yeah, he's like, I think he should do this. He said, yeah, I'm trying to do this. Like, you know, he's got power. He's got the swing, but he's still got the strikeouts. So he says he's just a lot of strikeouts. And that's still what it was because he left the major league level hitting 85.85.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's great to see that because, you know, we watched this team and we were told from this team, we're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to be a playoff team. We saw a bunch of people who had opinions going into the season of, they brought back Waka. He had a career year last year. It wasn't, but he had a good year last year. Can he do it again this year? I have my doubts. I was coming out of spring training thinking to myself, man, a lot of fly balls. Keep those fly balls down. Waka's been fine. People concerned about Seth Lugo. I have no concern. When Seth Lugo's on the mound,
You're relaxed. Yeah. You know, it's an automatic almost now.
Bubic has been a surprise, a great surprise. Like, what's been a better surprise, Bubic or Garcia?
Garcia.
Okay.
Because Garcia's the everyday player.
I mean, Bubich is in top five for a Cy Young.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Cy Young.
Yeah.
And Michael Garcia is the 11th best hitter in the AL.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to poo on anybody. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Right.
I really don't think there's a wrong answer. But that's kind of like what this team needed because
we saw Bubich last year show some flashes, right, in the bullpen. We're who's the guy that puked on the mound, by the way? I don't know why I just thought of him.
I know it. Oh, gosh. Oh, he did it three times.
Yeah.
He was a guy they brought over to.
It wasn't Sean O'Sullivan.
No, that's way too
weird. Yeah, I know. but I don't know why
he's going to open up the text line.
Oh, gosh.
Just keep going.
So, Bubich showed flashes last year. He was really good out of the bullpen last year. I think the expectation was, okay, be good. Michael Garcia is coming off a bad year from last year. And so to see him do this after coming off a bad year tells me a lot about him and his character. Like, he wasn't going to get down by that. He was going to continue to fight and battle. And look what he did. He did. He continued to fight and battle. And now he's your second best player on this team.
Yeah, Mac just told me. Jonathan Heasley.
Oh, was that the guy?
Yeah. That's who was the...
Jonathan Heavely?
Yeah. Jonathan Heasley. I've heard of him. I remember watching that going, oh, man. That just happened.
Is he still around?
I don't know. I forget what. Yeah, I was hoping he'd be good because he was a big, thick, like.
Well, that's why
dude.
I had Sean O'Sullivan on the top. Yeah. My next one was going to be Jonathan Broxton.
Oh,
and
God.
Was it Tim Allen or somebody? They had a Tim guy that got his pants.
He's now in New York.
Heasley doesn't look like he's anywhere.
No, I'm not surprised.
No. I mean, you threw up on the mound three times.
Tim Hill.
Yeah. Like he's got
now
Broxton's
in New York.
Pants.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Jonathan Broxton. Hey, good trade bait, though. He was like the Make-A-Wish version of Eric Gagne. Because he came up in L.A., too, or he was in L.A., and he kind of had that same build. And then Gagne was just a juicer, which we should have known.
Gagne.
85, like, consecutive saves. Like, this guy's really good. And it was like, Eric Gagne tests positive for steroids. And everyone's like, duh.
And Gagne.
Yeah, and Gagne. It's like all these things happened in the steroid era. We should have just been like forehead slaps. Like, duh, dude.
Look how awesome Brady Anderson is, man.
Sideburns. He had great sideburns.
Brady Anderson had that one year that everybody lost their minds.
51 home runs.
And now everybody's like, oh, he was like the first.
He hit 51 home runs, and then he just dissipated quickly.
Fast. Jeez. Gone.
And then it was like, I watched something the other day. It was like, man, I miss when first half numbers were like this. And it was like pure steroid, like 99 all-star game. And it's like, what was it? It was like Manny Ramirez is hitting like 347. Bonds has 39 home runs.
Right.
We're in July. And then, you know, you go back, you look at the obvious things of the steroid era. You're like, oh, yeah, Roger Clemens had a 1.88 ERA in Houston at the age of 43.
But how awesome was it, though? I mean, just be honest with yourself. It was phenomenal.
You loved it. It was
great.
It was more entertaining than the UFC.
It was outstanding. It was so good.
I would sprint from the school bus to my house and put on WGN because Cubs Cardinals were on in 98.
Yeah, right.
I was 11 years old and I would sprint. I mean, from the bus. My sister would be like, Sonny.
Yeah, we'd be at bars at college at that time, and it was every game. Like, people would just stop. I mean, and watch. And McGuire was up. There was an at bat. It'd be shown nationally. Sosa, same thing. You'd be all captivated, and you didn't care.
Jonathan Buxton. Were we calling him Byron?
Broxton?
Broxton. Jonathan Broxton.
What did I call him?
I thought we called him Byron Buxton for some reason. Or maybe I did.
He plays for the Twins. No, sometimes. I think I said Jonathan. Yeah, sometimes.
No, yeah, he sometimes plays for the Twins. Somebody wants to know, you think Doug Gottlieb could fix him, Jason?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
How about Caitlin Clark this week?
How about her? How great was she? She must have took Gottlieb's advice. She was hoisting threes. She hit one from like half court with no problem.
She took two steps and just... And then just looked at the, you know...
And then the Brazil coach in the middle of the game was like, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to basketball for boys and girls. I love you. Yep. I mean, like, it's cool. Heartwarming, man. Like,
she was like, thanks for coming.
Yeah. And they were up like 90-30 in the third quarter over that team, right? And I said to somebody, the tickets were going for like $450 to get into that game.
Wow.
It's insane. I was telling Dusty in the break, I'm like, how does somebody hate Caitlin Clark? And he looks at me and goes, jealousy's a powerful thing, bub. And I'm like, it really is. But it seemed just
why did she get to be the first one? Why does she get to be the trailblazer for the women's sports?
Look what she's doing.
I know.
Look how she's captivating fans. I mean, she's a great player. There's no question. But she's also a great person, and she also has captivated fans. Nobody else has done that.
I might go as Caitlin Clark for Halloween.
I mean, she is so good.
Mm-hmm. You got your Doncic jersey. Now you get your Caden Clark jersey.
I could definitely go as Luka. Same body type.
No.
They may think it's you just carry a beer around and don't get into shape.
I'm going to carry on a hookah and a beer, but yes. The hookah's going to have something besides hookah in it. And the beer, and I was like, can I please have candy? Luka, go home.
How about the podcasting coach out here still calling out his team for not being in enough shape again this weekend? You're the coach, podcaster. Yeah. Like, you need to get that thing moving in the right direction.
That's tough.
Put down the hot takes and be a. That's why I say the NBA coach, like, it's the. Like, not one player looks at an NBA coach and goes, okay, coach, I'll do what you say.
Mm.
There's no repercussions, especially for a guy like Luka, as good as he is. But I mean, good Lord, do a few pushaways.
The coach loves hot takes, and the number one player in the world loves hotcakes. He's not the number one player in the world. He's like the third, probably, best player in the world, to be fair. By the way, number one player in the world versus number two tonight?
Maybe number five.
Oh, SGA's five.
SGA's five, I'd say. Okay. Yeah.
Is he better than Ant?
Close. It's right there.
Okay, so Ant's six.
Because you got
Ant's
six. You got Brunson is number one.
Yeah, of course. Brunson's the best of all time.
Everybody else, right?
Of course Brunson's the best of all time. Are you kidding me? We have the best.
Brunson takes a peek at the clock. Thompson digging in defensively. 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime. Launches. Oh, yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it. Knicks lead by three. The Brunson burner ignited.
Not tonight.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We shall see. 9-point favorites. 9-point favorites. Celtics coming back. We do the Brioche of the Weekend on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Powering through on a Monday.
I want to read you a sports quote. Let me know how you're feeling when you hear this quote, all right? You guys ready? It comes from Braden Sheen of the St. Louis Blues. A second and a half away from closing out the series is brutal. I mean, I can't think of a worse way to lose a game. I'm glad we didn't have that in the Super Bowl where it was like a last-second field goal or something like that.
Well, ask the Niners how they felt.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the Eagles, the first time we beat them. Niners both times.
Even though I don't think it's even in the same category as that game because the Niners kind of, like, did it to themselves. Like, they chose to take the football.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like the walk-off was cool with Mecole Hardman, but I felt like the story was still, like, oh, my God, Shanahan didn't know the rules. Because, like, we did a whole segment on, like, Mahomes being like, this idiot doesn't know. Right, yeah. Like, go ahead. Like, we'll let you have it. And it's like, they won the ball. They won the ball. And then the whole Niners bitch is going, what? What? No, we want to. Ah, too late. So I think that kind of took a little bit out. But, I mean, like, and then the Philly win, the flag. People still talk about that. But, like, the first Niners won, you're up.
10.
Yeah. Was it 10 or 11? Yeah, 10.
Yeah.
You blew it.
Yeah.
After having all your guys in the end zone.
My friend sent me a text this morning, and he says, there's nothing worse than a two-goal lead in hockey because you feel relaxed and at ease because you're up two, right?
I've heard that
How about a 10-point lead in a football game, too? You know, like, we would talk about it all the time.
7 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yeah, right? Like, you're up 10. Like, it's human nature to go, okay, we got this. Oh, no, you don't. You don't have this at all. But, I mean, you know, we've talked about it all the time. When you dominate a game, you know, this is where the touchdown thing for the last couple of years has been a little concerning for the Chiefs. Like, you're dominating this game, but you're up 9-3, you know, as opposed to being up 21-3 at that point in time. You got to punch those things into the end zone. Or a baseball game, you're up, you know, two runs going into the eighth inning, you're feeling really good. Keep pour it on. Like yesterday with the Royals is a prime example of that, right? Looked like you were playing some good baseball. They kept coming back. Pile it on, man.
Yeah.
Whew, I just can't imagine what those guys are going through this morning. Like, you're waking up as a member of the Blues today going, what in the hell, man? Like, that's hard to get. I don't think people realize. Maybe I'm making a big deal out of it. Maybe they don't care. But I couldn't wake up this morning and feel good about myself.
And they've got to eat emos.
I know. It's true. Live in St. Louis and eat emos. Ugh.
I'd be so happy.
Just throwing them lobs today.
Yeah.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
need to do a smash or pass one in and surprise Bob with Provolone cheese on the pizza. He probably would like reach across the table and slap me across the face.
I'd walk out of the room.
No, we do not do this.
I still got to have the other place that, Rob's told me I need to try.
Rob Brenton or Rob Maloney?
Maloney.
Oh.
It's not Emo's, but it's St. Louis style. He said he's going to bring us a pie.
Mm. Okay. Bobble
enjoy
pass. No, I don't. I really don't hate Provolone cheese. I really don't.
No.
I love toasted raviolis, but I love Kansas City more, and there's no secret about that. Brioche of the weekend. You guys got any brioches this weekend? Did you
I
have a
do.
Little?
Well, I could give a lot this
How'd
weekend.
Your birthday party go? Or your graduation party
Graduation
go?
Parties were good. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, yeah
were good?
We had three over the weekend.
That's good.
I went to two. The second one, I just sent my daughter. That was more of her friend type of thing, so yeah. She went to that. But it was good. I mean, there's a couple of things. I want to give brioche to the folks over at Stage Right. It's a theater group my daughter is part of, but she's done, I believe, with them, and they've done a great job over the last 5, 6, 7 years that we've been part of that and had the final concert last night. Shout out to my friend Lucy Warner as well, who did an unbelievable job last night. Such talented kids in Kansas City that are part of that. So I want to give a shout out to those kids as well. Shout out to a teacher that I've talked about on this radio show for years, and it's one of Alex Gold's former teachers. This guy is named Mr. White. And if there's a graduation party and Mr. White isn't there, you know something's wrong. This guy shows up at every graduation party that I've been to over the last couple of years. And it shows you the impact that he's had as a teacher on these kids. Because he's not a high school teacher. He's a middle school teacher. And was. And he's retired now. And wow. Anytime you go to an Olathe East sporting event or a California Trail sporting event or anything like that, there's Mr. White there supporting his kids. And it makes me want to tear up because these kids are graduating high school. They haven't had him in about 5 years, and he's showing up to all of their graduation parties. And every kid comes up to him and talks to him about what a great teacher he is. If you can have the impact on just one person that Mr. White has had on a generation plus of kids that have gone from California Trail to Olathe East, you're doing some good work because this guy is remarkable, man. Every damn party that I see, and it's kind of become a joke. Ah, Mr. White, good to see you. Mr. Fesco, good to see you. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's the guy. If he were to die tomorrow, which he won't because he's fit, good guy, you know, that type of thing. But if he were, the impact that he's had on so many lives, I can't remember a teacher like this guy that's at every freaking kid's graduation party because of the impact that's that awesome. He had on him.
That is
so
cool,
as the graduation parties hype up and we've got more as the month goes along and they're Olathe East kids or California Trail kids, I expect to see Mr. White at these parties because that's the kind of guy that he is and the impact that he's... I don't know that I've ever seen a teacher have this kind of impact on students that Mr. White does. And shout out to Coach Reynolds as well. We're honoring him at the Royals game tomorrow. He is the coach of the month for Blue Cross Blue Shield Coaches with Character, Olathe East tennis coach. Over 100 students have bought tickets to go out and watch him throw out the first pitch because of the impact that he's had on kids. So have an impact, man. Do something good, as Dusty always says. So those are my brioches of the weekend.
Love that. Yeah, I would say I had a really good night with some close friends of Hannah and I's. We played like a game. It's called like you pull out some cards. It's basically like a conversational game that can get rather deep. And, you know, you have a few drinks out on the patio and you just kind of start talking about life and relationships. And it was super okay. fun. It was good.
Okay. That's all right.
I mean, yeah, just talking about living and growing and getting better. It was good. It was good.
Politics.
No, gosh, no. No. Good, like, relationship stuff and just talking about growing and living life. And
adding another one to the bedroom. Ace of diamonds. Mine I'll just give to the trip to Springfield. Shout out to the fans that came. Shout out to everybody that was involved. Other than the manager of the restaurant.
God, at 10 o'clock, they're going to go off on that guy.
It's coming, man. And also, hate to be this guy, but the curse has been lifted. There's no more Dusty curse. We went and saw Jack Caglione play.
Woo!
We got some stuff for the PMA Foundation.
Yes, thank you for that.
No problem at all. Hopefully you go out there and bid on that because it will be worth a ton of money one day because he is going to be an absolute stud. He hit a home run. On top of a building, above a milk sign that Major League Baseball tweeted out and did it. But it was more so it was about the fans. It was about the time. It was about the camaraderie of everybody that went. It was just a really, really good time. It was a really good time in Springfield. Alex hated cashew chicken.
I can't. Chicken tenders with some brown sauce on it.
He hated it. He said the best part was the egg roll.
Well, it may have been a really good egg roll, but I mean.
It was pretty solid. Drew got cussed out. And, you know. I Had a Hell of a Time, and Cody sang Hi, My Name Is by Slim Shady.
That's unbelievable. What a terrible song to sing for karaoke.
Look at how ready that man is behind
me. They are ready. Alex is ready.
Cody's running to the
room. Look at that guy out there. He is ready to rip on cashew chicken and the bar owner.
Hey, guys, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay nice. Coming up next, Cody, Golden, Drew, 10-2.